It's also Page, which is another.
Start recording. Okay, it is 8:03 p.m. AM. Oh, this is a bad way to start. Good morning, everyone. It's 8:03 a.m. We're in the Skagit County Board of Commissioners hearing room for a session of the Skagit Office of the Skagit County Hearing Examiner. I am the hearing examiner, Rajiv Majumdar. We have one matter on our docket today. That is PL 220445, which is an application for both a shoreline substantial development permit and a shoreline variance applied for by Herbert Stickle. And is Mr. Stickle in the room?
Yes.
Very good. And do we have a representative of Planning and Development Services?
Yes.
Wonderful. Would both of you and anyone else online or in the room who might feel that they might testify today, please raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, we have in our record 19 exhibits. After the staff report, we added an agenda. We added a notice of cancellation that came out about December something, and we added a new publication of notice from February that noticed this hearing to the public. Ms. Forbes, could you please be so kind as to state who you are and what you do at the department?
Yes, I'm Leah Forbes, Senior Natural Resources Planner with Planning and Development Services.
Wonderful. And are you the primary author of Exhibit 16, the staff report?
Yes.
Wonderful. Could you give myself and the public and all the viewers listening in online the overview about what this is all about?
Sure. This is a request for a new rock bulkhead located at the toe of an eroding bluff over by Rosario Beach. It will be 45 linear feet and connect or butt to an existing 121 foot long concrete bulkhead to protect an existing single family residence.
Very nice. And let's see if let's test my I worked my way through this. And one of the challenges that I have and the department had is during this is a project's been in place since about started since 2022, right?
Yes.
And in that meanwhile, the code changed.
The zoning code changed, the zoning, but the shoreline code has not
Correct. The
changed.
SMP has stayed the same, but some of the codifications, some changes were just numerical changes. They just rearranged the code just to mess with the Office of the Hearing Examiner and the Planning Department,
And staff, yes.
and perhaps. But some things I don't wonder might have been substantive in nature. And I tried to track most of the things, and one thing I realized was that definitely. The shoreline inside the Skagit County code, the code they just moved, there wasn't any substantive change because the SMP controls that. It's just a reference to the SMP. One of the things that they moved also was the rural reserve zoning code, which in your staff report and when applied for was 14.16.320. That's moved to 14.11.200. And I have one question about that because I think there may have been some kind of substantive change.
Okay.
But I want to make sure I followed the analysis correctly. Which is that first, we need a shoreline substantial development because it doesn't qualify. It's within 200 feet of the shoreline and the development itself. And doesn't qualify for an exemption as a single family residential dwelling. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that is because this shoreline armoring, it not only extends below the ordinary high water mark, but it's of a pretty extensive scale.
The initial project was significantly more. The what is before you, the project before you, is significantly scaled back. And so it's the main focus of why it doesn't qualify as an exemption is because it goes into the aquatic
Okay,
designation.
great. Great, 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 great. And then normally, under the shoreline code, we might need for a bulkhead or shoreline armoring a conditional use permit. But in this case, a conditional use permit will not work. Because the normal performance standards for the armoring in the SMP wouldn't be complied with anyways. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, great.
It is also not allowed as a conditional use in the aquatic zone unless it's to protect
Oh.
a shoreline or water, and that's in their shoreline or water dependent structure.
That's I wasn't protect. That's like a dock or some kind of literally water adjacent thing, not the house up top.
Something that is considered, yeah, shoreline or water dependent.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Now, I have a few questions because I think my analysis of what I need for shoreline substantial development and the department's analysis somewhat deviate as at what we look at. So I'm just going to ask you a few
Okay.
questions. About this. Does this detrimentally impact in any way the statewide interest in the shoreline?
No.
Does this preserve the natural character of the shoreline to any degree?
To the extent feasible, yes.
And that's by instead of using hard armoring, we're using the rocks, relocating them on the beach. Is that
Relocating
correct?
the natural rock and
Yeah.
bringing in additional natural rock,
Is
yes.
there a long-term benefit or a short-term benefit?
This will, well, hopefully long-term benefit. That's the goal.
Very good. Does this impact the resources or ecology of the shoreline?
Based on the mitigation required by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, any impacts will be offset.
Does this increase or decrease public access to the publicly owned areas of the
It
shoreline?
will not change the access.
Good. Does it have no impact on the recreational opportunities for the public on the shoreline?
It may have minor temporary impacts during installation, but after the construction is complete, there will be no impact.
Sure. And otherwise, except for what needs to be variance, does this generally follow the policies and regulations and goals of the shoreline master program?
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. As conditioned.
As good, yes.
As conditioned. Okay. Now, this is just trivia. Sometimes when I see decisions from the department, I see Swinomish, Samish, and Upper Skagit listed. And I noticed Upper Skagit wasn't listed in one of the proposed conditions here. Do we actually have geographical bounds when we determine which tribe is listed? Or.
We do not.
Okay. So would there be any objection to adding Upper Skagit?
No, not at all.
As a condition, great. I just want to make sure I'm being consistent in what we're doing from zone to zone. I thought, well, maybe this part of the county isn't part of some kind of notice area or something like that. Wonderful. And then my one question about zoning, by the way, this is a fantastic staff report.
No, thank you.
I loved it. It was very easy for me to find what I needed. I had all the things that I wanted. My zoning question.
With the typo,
Oh, I don't know. Is there a type?
there's a typo in
I
there.
didn't notice the typo, so we'll learn about
In
that.
the analysis under zoning, it's very brief, but it's
What page is that?
on page 11.
I should have asked you from the beginning. Are there any errors or omissions or corrections that need to be made at this time? And you're about to tell me, I guess.
Well, we would amend the exhibit list,
Okay.
but to include the documents that you've already added. But then, yes, under 1416, the previous version of the zoning code. It talked about the lowest grade to the top of the wall being less than 4 feet in height, so it would be exempt from, it should say, zoning setbacks. Mine says zooming
Oh, yes,
setbacks.
I did catch that. Yes, thank you. I did see that. I
Thank
did.
you, Microsoft.
I understood what you meant there. But that's actually what I wanted to go
Okay.
to. When I look at the current zoning code for the rural reserve, and I was trying to search for where residential accessory uses in the current code. Is this something that doesn't exist in the current code? I guess what I just really need you to tell me is that in the old code, which this is vested under, this is in fact an accessory use to a residence in this zone.
In the old code, it's not bulkheads are not specifically called out, but they have always been considered accessory to the single family residence. Because they're not a primary structure, they are considered accessory to it.
But it's not outlined in the code. So if I had a copy of the old code, which I don't, and I think until we finish this transition period, if the department could provide me the old codes and these
Yes.
pro that would be great. In 14.16.3.22J, what does it say in there?
I can pull that up. Fourteen, 16, 320, 2
J.
J just says residential accessory uses.
Ah, are there like a number of categories?
Yeah.
And what would you fit this under the category?
Well, this, oh, code publishing.
Take
Code
it.
publishing links you to a definition that's related to agriculture, natural resource land.
Ah.
Let me look at.
And just for everyone following along at home or in the room or in the AV room, Skagit County recently re rearranged and or changed parts of its code and zoning code. In the modern code, which was in front of me, I didn't see bulkhead showing up as an accessory use, which makes sense because Ms. Forrest has explained to me didn't really show up that way in the old version either. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page about that.
In the previous version of definitions 14.04, accessory use applies to a use, building, or structure which is dependent on or subordinate to or incidental to and located on the same lot with a principal use, building, or structure. And accessory use residential is an accessory use to a residence, including but not limited to the following. And then it talks about accessory dwelling units,
Oh, great. So it's
bunkers,
in the.
shelters, household pets, things like that.
I've read that definition.
But that doesn't specifically list things like bulkheads and retaining walls.
Wonderful. I read the bomb shelter definition. I got very excited
Yes.
about, and I tried to look at when this code was drafted, which was fantastic. But basically, an accessory use at this point is anything the STRF determines is a reasonable secondary
Incidental.
bomb shelter-like, woodshed-like attachment to the residence that's not the perfect primary. It's a pretty broad definition.
Yes, correct.
Accessory use. Okay, great. Wonderful. That was my only other question.
Okay.
It was a very clear report. I understand exactly what is happening and how the parties have gone through many iterations and changes on this matter. And Mr. Stigall, thank you for joining us today. Will your agent be representing you in this matter, or are you going to be speaking for yourself?
Words to say for you want to come here?
Well, let me check in and see if your agent's here. We have Drew McDonald present.
Yeah, I'm Drew McDonald. I'm the engineer
Hold on one
and
minute, Mr.
help.
McDonald. Ms. Glenda, I don't think you're not hearing him in the room. Yeah. Go ahead and give us a mic test, Mr. McDonald.
Test, test.
Great. One better. And could you turn on your camera as well?
Absolutely. I think it's starting to come through.
Wonderful. I see
Good.
you. I hear you. So all the great things are happening. Were you able to take the oath when I administered it earlier?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Can you please state your full name and spell your last name for the record?
Yeah, I'm Drew McDonald with Facet. My last name is spelled MCDONALD.
Okay, have you and your client had an opportunity to review the staff report?
We have just to be clear, I'm not representing Stickle today. I am the engineer of record and helped him with planning and
Great.
preparing the reports that we submitted to the county.
Sure. So you were dealing with planning for Mr. Stickle?
Correct.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to put a pin in you for a moment.
Understood.
All right, Mr. Stickle, how are you today?
Good.
Can I have you go up there to the podium with the microphone? Wonderful. I saw you took the oath when I administered it earlier. Is that your understanding under oath?
Yes.
Wonderful. Can you please state your full name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Herbert Edwin Stickle. My last name is spelled STICKLE.
Wonderful. And have you had an opportunity to review the staff report?
Yes.
Do you have any objection to the findings of fact or law as put forward by the staff?
No.
Have you reviewed the conditions put forward by the staff?
Yes.
Do you have any objection to the conditions proposed by the staff?
No.
That's such an easy line of questioning here. You heard me discuss with the staff in one of the conditions. We usually talk about archaeology and giving notification to the tribes. Do you have any objection to the Upper Skagit tribe being a required notice party for tribes you have to give notice to?
My understanding is that it's the Skagit River Cooperative who is involved in, and that is part of the Skagit River Cooperative.
And what do I need to know about this project from your perspective?
To meet all the agency requirements, we've scaled down from what we knew would work to what we hope will work. So I think that's the key thing when you're looking at this package. We hope this will work, and it's much different than what we started out with knowing would work. And then I'd also like to point out that it's been nearly 5 years as we've gone through this, and a lot of time, a lot of agency interaction. So all the state agencies and Skagit River Cooperative, everyone's been fully informed as we've gone along, and the agencies that required approval all gave us guidance before they had to officially review.
Anything else?
No?
Wonderful. Would you like Mr. McDonald to put on any testimony?
No, I'm not aware of anything more that he needs to say.
Okay, wonderful. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and open this up to public comment at this time. If you're in the room and would like to give public comment, or you're online or by phone, I think they can hit, I don't know, star six, star nine, something like that, or raise your hand. Or if you're really not functioning well with internet, you can just wave your hand at me or turn on your camera. I'm not seeing anyone online. I'm not seeing anyone jump up in the room. So going once, going twice, three times. With that, public comment on this matter is closed. Ms. Forbes, is there anything I forgot to inquire about or need to know?
I don't believe so.
Wonderful. Well, I feel like I have a good understanding of the case. I am going to be admitting all 19 exhibits, not hearing objection from any party. I'm going to take those facts, along with the testimony I heard here today, and I'm going to close this proceeding, the fact-finding part of this proceeding, and I'm going to issue a written decision in this matter. That written decision, by law, must come out within 10 day business days, working days is the actual definition of this proceeding. I have scheduled my day to work on this decision, so it's my anticipation that it will come out today. And when that decision comes out, if any party withstanding doesn't like my decision, they have the right to appeal that decision to the appropriate body of law. And thank you all for participating in this, and thank you both for the applicant and their partners and the department for clearly all the work that's gone into this proposal over 5 years. That will be the end of the hearing. Thank you all so much.